All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue for the day. Appreciate those of you who actually asked for a copy of yesterday's monologue, and thank you very much. And don't forget, attorney Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. Stan McDonald, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. I will tell you more about him momentarily, but Stan McDonald is our Right Side Way sponsor. So, I mentioned it a minute ago with JP, but yesterday I made an appearance on News Nation, and I was put on a panel with a former Democrat congressman, and he had a great resume. I mean, the guy was a law school grad, a former Marine, a Democrat who ran for Congress and then lost his bid in the U.S. Senate race against John Fetterman. Seemed like a sharp guy. I mean, he was well-spoken. I appreciate his military service. But basically, while I might identify with some of his background or maybe even think he's all right as a dude, I don't identify at all with his policies. And there was no way his personality was ever going to win me over to that because I know what I believe and he doesn't believe the same as me. Therefore, given the opportunity, I would never find myself voting for him. Well, look, I hear it all the time, right? People say, I vote straight ticket, or I vote for the person, not the party. Or the other side of that three-sided coin, I vote for the one that has the best policies. Okay, I'm going to suggest to you there has to be a little bit of all of the above. So I saw an article a while back about the Cheney family. Oh, Lord, yeah, I did. The Cheney family. And their complete disdain now for President Trump. Former Vice President Dick Cheney even did a campaign ad for his daughter Liz in which he declared that Trump was a traitor. That's some stiff words from a man who should know the value and the import of such words, right? The article that I read even went on to question the Cheney family's all-out assault against Trump. I mean, are they even still Republicans? Well, arguably, Liz Cheney and certainly Dick Cheney would fall into what is often referred to as the establishment or the legacy wing of the GOP. But don't they even care about conservative policies? I mean, you would think so. I mean, are they really of the mind that we would have been better off if we had had more of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris? Well, apparently so, since Liz Cheney actually endorsed Kamala Harris, which would have been Biden 2.0, really. It certainly seems that policy was lost to the ultimate bugaboo of Trump's personality with the Cheneys. So apparently they were voting pretty much on personality. Huh. All right, let's break it down a bit. Let's first talk about party politics. So I'm a longtime Republican myself, right? Many years as a party member. I'm a county party chairman, a member of the state executive committee, an elected Republican. For those that vote straight ticket, there's sometimes the complaints that, you know, party over politics influence their vote. Well, so what? Is that bad? Well, it depends. You see, when someone runs on a party ticket, you at least have the means of knowing that they've been sort of pre-cleared. They have acknowledged that there's a party platform. They have aligned themselves with a team, so to speak. They've not worked for the other party in recent history. They're allegedly lined up with the certain values that the party platform they've chosen espouses. And the same with the others on the other ticket. So, for instance, if someone says to you they're a Democrat, but they don't align with Joe Biden, then you have to ask why they're a Democrat. I remember one former state representative who spent years as a Democrat down in Montgomery tried to tell me once, well, I really don't align with the bulk of the Democrats, and that he even supposedly caucused with Republicans. My question with him was, so why are you still riding for that brand? Look, there's going to be those folks who occasionally may cross a line, right? Maybe they're for gay marriage but opposed to government big spending. Or perhaps they're all for green energy mandates, but they also believe in strong national defense. But to be honest, those kind of crossover voters are getting fewer and fewer by the day. I once spoke to a man whose daughter had unsuccessfully run for office as an independent. He told me that he told her later, that as she was lamenting her heavy loss at the polls, that she ought to look at the numbers and realize there was no straight ticket vote for her side, that every single person who voted for her was literally voting just for her. Okay, that's true. I'm sure that's a way to maybe help assuage the pain of her epic loss, but the fact remains she also ran without a team. You see, when you join a team, like a party, you reap the benefits of being on the team. Likewise, you are to some degree accountable to that team. So, if you're voting straight ticket, I got no issue with you voting straight ticket unless I can clearly see that some members of the team's ticket are not who they say they are. And that's why, me personally, I feel like we have to dig into policy. We all do. What does the person actually stand for? What will they do? If they've been in office before, then tell me what they've already done. What are their policies? You see, I care deeply about policy. I can't imagine ever voting for a Democrat myself, but I also care about who is claiming the mantle of being a member of either party. What are their policies? What will they do? So yesterday on News Nation, the Democrat that I was pitted against, he decided to try and go down the road of hating Elon Musk. He made the tired, worn-out, kind of useless point that the American people didn't elect Elon Musk. Well, yes, we did. Of course we did. Because we overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump, who then picks his team full of people that were not on the ballot. Every member of his cabinet, all of his czars, his top generals on the Joint Chiefs, the judicial appointments, the members of the National Security Council, and yes, even Elon Musk, none of them were voted on directly. But they are an absolute extension of Trump policies that the American people heard him talk about on the campaign trail and say that he would promote, and we cared about it, so we voted. So therefore, ergo, Elon Musk is an extension of policy. Plain and simple. Donald Trump won both the popular vote and the electoral vote. We wanted his policies, so therefore we did in fact vote for the people he hired to put the policies in place. All right, policy, it's huge. Personality, it means something, but it's certainly not everything. But I got to tell you, party also means something, and being on a team means something. Well, the interesting thing is, let's take a look back at the 2020 presidential election cycle. Oh, geez, do we have to? Well, anyway, we're going to. The 2020 election cycle, Biden and every member of the Democrat field told us exactly what they were going to do. I mean, sure, there were some whoppers about being like a unifier and working across the aisle, but the truth is, we already had 40 years of history on Joe Biden policies. He had presided over the Senate for Obamacare votes as the vice president. His foreign policy was awful. We all knew it. He loathed strong military action. He literally gave us ISIS as an enemy when Obama-Biden abandoned Iraq without a plan. Biden was known for being a gaffe master, saying stupid stuff all the time and embarrassing people in his inner circle by his inability to stop saying stupid stuff. But his policies? Policies. The policies of a candidate are of paramount importance. I got to tell you, we knew what Biden's policies were, and people voted for him anyway, which is amazing. If the Cheneys, or anybody else for that matter, thought for a minute that Trump's policies would have been worse than Biden's in the last election, well, then I question whether they were really Republicans to begin with. It appears to me the Cheneys and other members of the Never Trump crowd, they got lost along the way. They incubated and festered such a hatred of Trump's personality, they were willing to sacrifice both the party and the policy. That's why you can't just do one. You have to have a big wrap-up of all three: party, policy, and personality. So let me talk about personality again just for a minute. That brings us to those who like to say, well, I vote for the person. Okay, I understand that elections are in some ways a popularity contest. They are, especially in the primary season. Half a dozen candidates stand up there in front of you. They're all running commercials on your TV. They're all mailing stuff to your house. And oh, by the way, that's about to start again as the governor's elections kick off here in the next few months. And you find yourself getting caught up in the whole idea of which one smiled better, or which one seemed more genuine, or which one came across too grumpy, or posted something you didn't like on Facebook. See, personality, it plays a part in the election. That's not unreasonable. I get it. But it can become a trap if that's all that a voter looks at. Personality cannot be the best indicator of whether or not someone is most qualified to serve in public office. Look back at 2020. The presidential election of 2020 came down largely on the question of Trump's personality. I have no issue with Democrats who voted for their candidate. They're Democrats. I get that so-called independents may have had likes and dislikes and weren't wed to a team so they could be flexible. But what I definitely have issues with are the never-Trump Republicans, those so-called team players who sacrificed everything they said they believed in, every party platform, every policy position, all because they were so swept up in the idea that Trump's personality was bad for the party, bad for the nation. Well, how'd that work out? It's as if the politics of middle school cliques took over for some of those longtime players and pundits who we used to listen to. People like Bill Kristol and David French, and David Frum. Look, I will readily admit that Trump's personality can be brash and at times bombastic, and occasionally even I cringe at his mean tweets. Well, so what? In the end, I would rather have a strong, sometimes rude personality running policies that I believe in as a part of the party that I'm a member of in order to, you know, best get to where we are now. That's why it has to be all of the above. You can't just say, well, I only vote the person. You can't just say, well, I only vote the party. And you also can't say, well, I just vote the policies, because sometimes the policies can be carried by an idiot who's in your party, and you got to watch out. You got to find the person who is electable as a personality, who has the ability to join the team and be a part of the team and help run the team as a party, and, oh, by the way, carries policies that we really care about. It's politics, it's policy, it's personality. And I rank them that way in the order of their importance first. Policy first, party next, and then some of the personality. This ain't middle school. It's got to be bigger. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.